What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Ministry Zoo. This is episode El Numero Dos Uno, 21. We are here together, 21, right? Wasn't that real popular back in the day, like last year? I don't know. But anyway, I am here with my man, Jess Steamroller Estep. It is so good to have you with us. I got to keep coming up with these creative nicknames. They just keep getting out of control. I mean, I just don't know. But anyway, I like Steamroller. We might stick with that one for a little while.
Steamroller.
But anyway, Jess and I were traveling side by side on the way to the office this afternoon to do the show. He had been picking up some things in the Florence area, and I had too. I had a doctor's appointment earlier this morning, so we got to steamroll into the Killen building. To be here. So Jess, tell us about it, man. What's been going on since the last time we were together?
Well, I had a few things going on. Towards the end of the week, last week, we had our second prayer group meeting and at Brooks High School. And a little bit down, we had 45 students. That was almost to be expected. You figure you're going to get some that are just kind of curious the first time, see what it's all about. And I don't know if it was that as much as just, you know, they're teenagers, so getting up early and being at school at 7:30 is not too cool. But
it's hard.
I tell you what, with 45 and 50 the first week, I've been super encouraged. Our teenagers have been encouraged, and our number of our teenagers that attended the second one grew. And so that's what's important to me. To be honest with you, I thought from the very start, it's probably going to be mostly our kids and probably not very many.
Right.
I'm going to level with you, and I don't know if this says I didn't take a big enough leap of faith, or at least in my mind, that I wasn't as large in faith about it as I should, but honestly thought we'd have 5 to 10 the first time.
Yeah.
I really did. It's 7:30. That's early.
Sure.
Some of the kids were already saying they didn't think they could make it. We've got some cheerleaders that they go to the elementary school before – they go to the high school. They go in early and sell things there before class on Fridays. And so they were saying they couldn't make it, some of the other guys. And so I didn't know. I didn't know what to expect, but I've been super encouraged by that. I talked to Andrew Thompson, who's now, you know, at Rogersville. Yeah. And he texted me today about it and asked about it. He's been asked to head up the FCA at Lauderdale County High School.
Yeah, awesome.
And so that's going on. I know at Mars Hill, you know, obviously they've got chapel and things, Bible classes through the day, and at Rogers they've got, you know, I keep mentioning these things because it's growing, man. It's becoming a big deal. And so Rogers has the devotional on Wednesday mornings. I'm going to try to get to those. And so many good things going on campuses of high schools right now. If you're listening and you have the ability, maybe you've got a teacher that's a member of the church, or maybe even the principal like we do, and you can talk to them about, or maybe you just know one of the teachers that wouldn't mind you using their classroom, I would challenge you to step out and say, what can we do? What's going to work? Is it a devotional, a prayer group? Because I've been blessed with it. My prayer life has been strengthened. And we have just really been encouraged by that. So that was Friday, and then we had our first devotional of the year on Sunday night of the school year, and it turned out great. We had a lot of kids. We had sort of a spontaneous tailgate devotional. We've never done that.
Yeah.
And so I've got a truck, and one of the other guys has a truck, and he backed his truck up kind of close to mine, and we just kind of made a circle. And we just sat out in the parking lot and sang, and had a really good devotional. That's Sunday great. Night. And then yesterday was, I guess you could call it relaxing. We went to Point Mallard, me and my family.
Yeah.
Took Brennan, me and Lori took Brennan to Point Mallard, and I had not been there in a while. And it was exactly like I left it, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But he really enjoys it, and he's getting to where he's pretty brave in that wave pool and the slides. And so we had a nice little relaxing day yesterday. So super excited to be back in the zoo. I'm curious to hear about what you've been up to.
It's been slow. No, I'm lying.
I don't think so.
We Chapel and I came in late Sunday evening. From Dallas, we went down for the ball game, for the Alabama USC game, and
is that basketball?
Yes, yeah,
yeah.
It was water polo, actually. So we went down for the game there at Cowboys Stadium. If you've never had the opportunity to go to Cowboys Stadium, if your team is playing there, you know, the team that you pull for, you should really go. I mean, it's just an incredible atmosphere. You get to meet lots of different people. You get to do all kinds of things. And, you know, Six Flags is very, very close. And, of course, you know, I'm a huge baseball fan. And the Texas Rangers Stadium is right there. It's like it's connecting almost.
Is
it's
that
just
right?
Right across the street.
See, I didn't realize that.
So they're right there beside each other. The day of the football game, the Rangers were actually having a game at 3 o'clock that afternoon. So, you know, I mean, it was just a huge abundance of people that were down there in that particular area. Mm-hmm. Six Flags is very, very close. I mean, like across the interstate close.
No, cool.
So
cool.
It's a very, very busy part of town. But, you know, we just had a great time. Like I said last week, that's the trip that Chapel and I take. It's just she and I, and she is super, super kind to be able to do that for me. I mean, she could care less about football, I really think. Mm-hmm. But she knows how much I enjoy football, so she takes that trip with me. And as long as we get to eat good food, she's typically okay. You know, as long as we get to go do something fun.
Full Moon Barbecue.
You know, I wish.
Yeah.
But they have this steakhouse down there. It's called Saltgrass.
Okay.
It sounds kind of weird, but I'm telling you, man, that is – the steak was just unbelievable. So we left, and even Chapel said, you know, that's the best steak I think I've ever had.
Is that right?
So, you know, it's just incredible, great atmosphere, great town, and just being able to spend some time with her. Then Sunday on our way back, we stopped Sunday morning and worshiped with the Waterview Church of Christ in Richardson, Texas. The minister who is there, his name is Jason Moon, and he's a friend of ours. He actually, his first pulpit work was at Shiloh.
Is that right?
So he's been a few different places. He was in Huntsville and then Birmingham, and now he's found his way out to Texas. And so we enjoyed being with them, went and ate lunch with them. And so it was just really, really great. We got back late Sunday night and we were able to spend some time with the kids before they had to go to bed. So it was just unique to be with them. And then yesterday, you know, we just spent some family time just catching up and just being around each other and being able to just relax a little bit, you know, knowing what's coming up and Chapel going back to school this week. And, you know, we just know that there's a lot of stuff happening just like with everybody else. You know, it's just super, super busy. So we were able to take yesterday and just sort of relax and eat chicken stew. You know, that's kind of the big holiday thing for Chapel's family. They do a chicken stew 3 times a year. They do one on the 4th of July. And they do one on Labor Day, and I'm not real sure what the other one is. I just know we have to go. but, you know, it's just unique to eat outside when it's 93 degrees and the chicken stew is 211 degrees. Mm-hmm. You know, it's unique. But it
might as well bring the coffee out.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, just wear your parkas and all kinds of stuff. But it was fun to just be able to spend time with them and catch up a little bit. So, yeah, it's just been a really fun, busy, exciting weekend, and we've had a great time. So it's just good to be back in a routine, you know.
Yeah.
and that's always a good thing. But Jess has a we try to start with a first word segment. I promise it's not as long as last week's first word, but we enjoyed reading that article. Hopefully you've had the chance to go and read that article yourself. If you'll notice in the notes, we did find who actually wrote the article. Jess found that for us and was able to put that in there after we did a little more research. But the first word that we have today, Jess pulled this one, and it's just amazing. Jess, why don't you share this first word with our listeners?
Well, this is a shorter quote. It's not an article. I won't read an article today, but it's a shorter quote from William Arthur Ward, and he said about teachers, he said, "The mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains. The superior teacher demonstrates, the great teacher inspires." And I thought that was very fitting for what we're going to be talking about today. The mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains, the superior teacher demonstrates, the great teacher inspires.
Super powerful.
That's really what we want to do with our teaching, whether we're teaching kindergartners, whether we're teaching in the nursery department, whether we're teaching the teenagers or the college students or the older members of your congregation. We want to inspire, we want to uplift, and so we want to aim to be great teachers, and hopefully everybody listening here wants to and aspires to be a great teacher. And so Wes, why don't you tell everybody kind of what the topic's going to be today?
Yeah, we're talking about choosing a curriculum and kind of what works for Jess. Will, you know, give some of the things that work here at Killen and some of the things that we do at Shiloh that have worked for us. So choosing a curriculum is something that is unique, I guess is a good way to put it, because you have to look at the demographic of what age group of children you have, what your children have learned in the past, because you certainly don't want to repeat. I mean, you know, you want to emphasize and make sure that they understand, but you don't want to just constantly have a repeating, revolving door of what you're talking about with your young people. So choosing a curriculum is not something to be taken lightly. It's something that should be entered into prayerfully and with lots of help. As much impact and as much input as you can have from other people. So choosing a curriculum today. So hopefully you'll be able to pull something from this.
And, you know, I would add to what you were saying about looking at the demographics. And in addition to those things that you have to look at, you really need to look at the level of, you know, I don't know if you'd say spirituality, but I don't know how else to say it. The level of spirituality that your group has, that you're going to be teaching, you know, that's not a judgment statement. I'm not trying to judge anybody's faith or their spirituality, really. But if you're looking around and you're teaching some of the meatier topics of the word and they're not getting it, it's not computing, it's not, you know, it's not getting through to them, they're not understanding it, then you kind of have to back off. And you can't be so stuck to a set curriculum, in my opinion, that you can't kind of go back and look at some fundamentals and say, okay, well, let's go back and let's reevaluate this thing, because we're not getting it over here. You know, we've been going through, you know, Hebrews, and that's kind of a difficult chapter or a difficult book. And so we're not getting that. Let's go ahead. Let's go back to the Old Testament and set this Old Testament story up that leads into Hebrews. And then maybe we can get to Hebrews later.
Yeah.
So I think that that's part of the evaluating process too. When you're looking at the age group and who you're teaching, I think you really need to look at what level of understanding do the teenagers have, or do the young people have?
Yeah.
And if they're not getting it, you don't need to keep going.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
if they don't understand what you're talking about, you need, and on the flip side of that, if you're talking about, if you have in your curriculum, say you have a 4, 5, 6 year rotating curriculum of topics, and you're doing first principles, and you've got very mature spiritual kids that, you know, they've been through that, they understand, they're teaching that to their friends, I would say, let's back off of this. You guys need some meat.
Yeah.
So let's tune into some of the meat of the word.
Right.
And let's get really fed. So it kind of goes both ways. This idea of curriculum is something that we've been discussing lately for our elementary program, and to be honest, for our teenage department as well. Now, we did make some changes with our teen department, and I'll go ahead and tell you now what we do is, instead of like a lot of congregations do a 13-week curriculum every 3 months. You're doing a topic on Sunday morning, then you have a different topic on Wednesday night, and so you're studying two different things for 13 weeks, and it usually is a quarter, three months. We kind of sat down and we said, how can we help the teenagers retain a little bit more of what we're teaching, and how can they, you know, because from Sunday to Sunday is a long time.
Sure.
It's only a week, but it's a long time. It's a lot of days to remember. You know, I just noticed, you know, I'd come in and I think they're paying attention. It wasn't that, but I would come in and say, okay, what did we talk about last week?
Yeah.
Chirp, chirp.
Yeah.
You know, nothing. Yeah. And maybe they knew and they just are being teenagers and didn't want to speak up. Yeah. But I said, well, how can we, is there a way that we could do this where they can retain a little bit more week to week and maybe feel more connected with the Bible classes and maybe get some more topics in, maybe some more classes in. I was looking at the Adventures in Ministry, some of the series they have on there, and they're kind of shorter. There's some 4 week, there's some 8 week kind of deals,
right?
Or 8 lesson and 4 lesson. So there's all kinds of different ones on there. And I thought, well, I'd really like to interject some of these in. These are really good series. And so I sat down with our education director and we talked about it. And so now we've gone to a monthly teaching. I don't know, really know what you call it. Monthly teaching. We've gone to monthly. So we do Sunday morning and Wednesday night for a whole month on the same. And you don't necessarily get, you don't always get 13 lessons in. Well, I kind of think that's okay. I don't really know that we ought to be set. You know, it's a little bit more difficult if you're going through a book of the Bible. Some we have just pulled out bits and pieces and not gone through chapter by chapter. Mm-hmm. But some will take 2 months.
Right.
So we leave it open to do that as well. And so that seems to be working really well with what we're doing now. And just real quick to tell you about the discussions and the reason for why we kind of came up with talking about choosing a curriculum and why it's so important is some of the material, if you'll look at it, it's a little outdated. And now I'm talking about, it can be for the teenagers, but I mean primarily now for the elementary department. So one of our parents came to me and Lori with one of the books that they're teaching in the elementary class. And this lady was teaching the class. And with all due respect, now I know there's some of you that there may be some people listening that have a different opinion on this than me, and that's okay. You know, I respect that. But it literally said, and it was talking about the home, and it said, you can be a lawyer, a doctor, a preacher, a surgeon. I don't really know what all they were. Then it said, or you can be the wife of one of these.
Oh.
And I just thought, you know, she came to me and felt very, you know, we had already been talking about, is there some newer material? And then that was just to kind of support that idea that it's probably time that in 2016 that we're not using material from 1950.
Sure.
You know, or 1980 even. I think this one was dated. It had a copyright of 1981, but the original material was even older than that. They just slapped a new cover on it and put a new date on it.
Yeah.
And like I said, whatever your opinion is on that, that is fine. I'm okay with that. But I just felt like at that point, I thought we need to start scurrying around looking for some fresher material.
Right.
Obviously, the message we don't want to change, but boy, some of the talk like that, we probably need to update and get into this entry. And we have found some pretty good stuff since then.
Yeah,
and I'm no master curriculum developer or education director. And, you know, I've been in that role at places I'm not necessarily here, but I thought we could just discuss this idea of choosing and developing curriculum for our youth programs. And so that's kind of where I am, and that's kind of the thrust of this discussion, I think. And we do have an education director who works with other people, and they choose and develop curriculum. That's kind of how we do it. I'm part of that process for the teen department, and we have a four-year plan that takes them through the Bible in 4 years. So their whole time in high school, they will go through the whole Bible. And obviously, we have other things we throw in, too. We don't just, you know, Genesis, then Exodus. And, you know, it's we go through some of those books, but then we also throw in some other things. So I'm curious, you know, what do you guys at Shiloh do?
Yeah, so we have an education director as well. He kind of sets things in motion. And we do a quarterly basis kind of deal.
Okay.
So ours is set up on a quarter system. So the education director will get with, you know, the teachers for that quarter and basically lay out what's going to happen for that quarter, and the teachers are allowed to move within those parameters for that quarter, because what we're trying to avoid is not only having material that I don't want to say modern, you know, but I guess that's the word to use. I mean, you know, that the kids understand, that they're able to level with, they're able to see, kind of like what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we want to make sure that we're doing that, but we also want to make sure that it's not repetitive. Because one of the things that we were finding is that even in a quarter system, when you bring in a new a new teacher. Maybe sometimes they don't know necessarily what's been taught the previous quarter. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, you know, 7 out of the 13 weeks, they could be teaching the same thing. So,
right.
You know, so we're trying, you know, we tried to make sure that that's avoided. So there's a little more structure, and our elders have really, really plugged into that and really had an impact on that and really emphasizing that we don't spend our time just reteaching, you know, Noah. Mm-hmm. Or the story of Moses, you know, that we move on and that we get different stories. You know, Jonah's a big one.
Right.
You know, no pun intended on the size of the fish. But, you know, it's just one of those things where we try to move where we're not repeating ourselves, that they understand and know more about the scripture and that they get the stories that they should be needing. So our education director kind of sets that up. One interesting thing that we do, we're going to break this down between what we're kind of doing with our young kids in the elementary and sort of what we're doing with the teenagers. But one thing that we do is we break it up and we take one quarter out of the year and we put a special emphasis on Lads to Leaders.
Right.
So,
yeah, because there's several different books and different things that they have that you can use in your congregation.
Yeah.
I think those are good tools.
So, so we try to use that. But it's just, it takes a lot of effort between the education director, the teachers, myself, the elders, just kind of getting together, kind of seeing what path we want to take. I remember when this kind of transition was happening, we were looking at different things, different avenues in which to teach from. So we looked at things like 21st Century Christian. We looked at The Living Way, you know, different things that we looked at. And mm-hmm. and we found that, you know, it just better fit the demographic that we had and the obstacles that we were trying to overcome to make sure that our kids were learning and not repeating was just to have a structured quarterly program that mm-hmm. sets up and sort of works for us. So, you know, it doesn't matter if it's monthly, quarterly, yearly, as long as it's working and being productive,
that's right.
That's what's important. So, Jess, let's kind of talk a little bit about the elementary setup. Kind of go through what you guys use and do here. And then I've got something that I'd like to say about y'all's elementary setup too. So,
okay, before we get into that, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
You mentioned other people coming in and teaching, mm-hmm. and you know, and that. So, is that kind of like dual teaching? Because what we do, or what we try to do, we don't hit on it every time. Depends on what time of the year it is. A lot of times in the summer, it doesn't work out. But we always try to dual teach, so we always try to have two teachers that they kind of can work out for themselves if they want to rotate one week and then, or as we do, Sunday and then Wednesday. Or if you want to say you take a Sunday and Wednesday, then the other guy takes a Sunday and Wednesday. That's kind of how we do it. Do y'all do dual teaching? Because I'll tell you what, it has helped at Killen. It has helped me overcome a lot of burnout that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
It has really helped with that because, you know, I can usually every other week, or you know, if I tell a guy, you know, I'd really like to have Wednesday nights off of teaching, so I can teach Sunday morning and you could teach Wednesday night, it really helps because there's other things going on a lot of times on Wednesdays. So how's that work with you guys?
If we need somebody to fill in, we can, but mm-hmm. basically it's just that's your class for the quarter.
Okay.
And it works, but you know, sometimes you run into hiccups and things are not there, which you know, you could be sick or you could be going out of town or whatever.
Sure.
So I definitely have seen the benefit of a dual teacher, and I think that's so important, you mm-hmm. know, to have somebody that you can rely on. So actually, what we did is during the lads quarter, we have it's just grown so much over the last couple of years, and God's really done some special things with these people. But our college age group has really, really grown. It's gone from 2 or 3 on occasion to I think we have like 16 or 17 in there right now. It's just a huge age group for us. So
mm-hmm.
one of the things that Jared Hines, he's our lads director at Shiloh, has kind of incorporated is, especially during that lads period, he pulls some of the college age kids and helps them to teach because our classes can get so large during that time because there's so many kids involved in so many different things with our lads program, and it's super, super special to watch. So, and it's also a training tool for those college age people that will be teaching those classes, you know, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it gives them an opportunity to get the feel for it. So, you know, basically one quarter out of the year, there's going to be a college student, hopefully, that's plugged into every class. But for the most part, it's just that's your responsibility. That's kind of where you're at for the quarter. And so far, it's been successful.
Yeah, and I guess the good thing is there, if you're teaching on a quarterly basis, then you might not necessarily be teaching Sunday and Wednesday. So you're going a week between now, probably for you, I would imagine you're teaching both Sunday and Wednesday. And so, yeah, I mean, I was just curious because I knew you had mentioned, you know, if you have somebody come in, you know, that they might teach something that, you know, that somebody else already had. So I was curious about that. And so if you're not dual teaching, if that's something that sounds interesting, if you hate the idea, that's fine. But it might be something that, you know, you'd be interested in talking to your education director or your elders about doing and saying, you know, if we have enough men to teach these classes, then, you know, that would take the load off.
Yeah.
And I always stay in there, and the other teacher usually stays in there too, just kind of for continuity to know what was taught and what kind of path we're on. So, you'd mentioned, going into the elementary discussion, and again, this is not going to be my area. Okay. I'll just go ahead and admit, you know, like I said, we've been at a couple of places. We've dipped our toe in the water as far as helping with finding curriculum. But I'll be honest, and this is probably an episode should have had Lori on with, because she has been very instrumental at some places we've been to get some things started. When we were at Atlas, one thing we started was Journeyland curriculum.
I remember that.
Yeah, and it was really cool. And the way that works, and forgive me, but the material comes from a congregation in Texas, I believe, and I cannot remember the name of the congregation, but you can search Journeyland Bible class curriculum and probably find it. And they charge a little bit for it, but once you get started with it and once you buy all the material, you come out way cheaper than you would buying books for every single quarter. So that's kind of a wash. But what that does is it has four or five different rotating rooms, almost like what you might do for a vacation Bible school. Yeah. And in fact, what we did at Atlas was we decorated the rooms big like that, like for VBS. I remember, and I'll never remember all of the rooms, but I know for the culture, I think it's culture and, well, I can't remember. It's a culture room, basically, where you go in and maybe after you've had the lesson room, you come in the culture room and then you're taught about the cultures of the day and, you know, how they made this. And, you know, when you're talking about unleavened bread, and you might even make some unleavened bread, or you'd work with it or eat some, somebody would bring some.
Sure,
and so you learn about the culture of the lesson that you just learned, and which was really cool. There was a music and memory room where you would go and learn songs and learn memory verses. And then, like I said, there was a lesson room where you're taught the lesson for the day. And there was some kind of, it wasn't called the crafts room, but it was basically, you know, you're going to do a little craft, and then you rotate. You do, I think, two classes each day. So on Sunday, you'd go to two classes. I think we had four rooms.
Yeah.
And so they would do two classes on Sunday morning, and then on Wednesday night, they would finish the other two. And then so the next week, you're doing a different lesson.
Yeah.
So you do a lesson, one lesson each week.
Yeah.
And that was a really cool thing. We don't do that at Killen. We're in some talks, you know, and we've got to talk to the right people, but that is possibly something that we might could do for our young people.
That's pretty neat.
But right now, the way we've got it set up at Killen right now is basically for our nursery department. They basically, and I think up to second grade, they go through a book, and I think it's probably the Living Way book. And then when you get to third grade, we have two different learning centers for the third grade through the sixth grade. And there are two different rooms, the ones for the younger ones and ones for the older ones. And they have all kinds of little stations that they can go to. And so it might be a game. It might be a match word game for memory verses. And it might be something on an iPad. We've got a room in the back, the media room, and it's got a few iPads back there, and they do little you know, projects on the iPad and whatnot. Right. And so they seem to really enjoy that. And Lori has been in there helping for several years now. And so we've done some updating to it and things along the way. But that's kind of how we have our education or our elementary education system set up. So yeah. I know you came and looked at it. You had some comments about it. What were you going to say?
You know, what we do sort of throughout the year is we, you know, there's a book and there's a structure. And I think we use the Living Way for our elementary department as mm-hmm. well. So, you know, they go through that every quarter. And then, you know, we mentioned that there's a quarter where we take and we just emphasize that entire quarter structured around Lads to Leaders. So we actually came to Killen, Jared, as I mentioned, who oversees our Lads department, and his wife, Allison, who is just very, very instrumental in helping that get off the ground. And they're just two absolutely wonderful people. And then Heath Allen, who you know, very, very, very personal, good friend of mine. And I think the world of Heath, and he's very instrumental in helping young kids. I mean, that's just kind of Heath's niche. He's just phenomenal with young kids and creating stuff and creating an environment where they're just phenomenal in their learning. And so he was able to come to that too. And we brought a few of the college kids as well because they were going to be in on that. So we wanted to see how the stations were set up, you know, the different learning centers. And we took that and applied it to Centurion of Scripture, second language, you know, some of the different things that they can compete in or non-competition events, excuse me, that they can do. And they can just sort of knock those things out as they're going through their Sunday morning, Wednesday night curriculum. So that's once a year. You know, we just do that the quarter that Lads is happening. So we were able to sort of bounce off of what Killen was using for every week, where they just kind of grow and they move into different centers. And we were able to take that and apply it to a Lads aspect. It took some creativity. It took lots of planning, but you know, if you want your young people to be learning and to be growing and to be moving, that's what you got to do. You got to plan. You got to put some time into it. It's not something to be entered into lightly. So we just were able to come here, see how that worked, and we've applied it, you know, to fit what we were after. Yeah. So that's another thing. Once you find something that works, just because it doesn't necessarily fit you, you could adapt it to how it works for your young people. And so our elementary department has really grown, and you can really see the knowledge starting to be incorporated. You know, you start talking to them and you start asking them questions, and they're able to tell you, they're able to answer you on things that they haven't been able to in the past. So
that's really good.
Yeah. I mean, it's super, super neat. We also do junior leaders during the Lads time as well for our young people. So, you know, it's structured for those three quarters, and then it's a different structure later on in the Lads quarter. So being able to do those things and incorporate those different things, and it doesn't hurt. I mean, you know, obviously we came and went through the class period with your young people there, and it was just such an eye-opening experience because they were able to go, and you know, the teachers really didn't have to tell them where to go. I mean, they knew what their responsibilities were and what their roles were for that day, and they were able to just go and do it, and it was super, super neat to watch. And so
They each have a folder.
Right.
So they go get the folder with their name on it, and then it tells them this is where you got when you last time, so they can just go pick up right there.
It's super, super neat. So if you're listening and you're wanting something creative to do with your elementary department, I'm not speaking for Killen because I'm obviously not here, but they were generous enough and kind enough to let us come in and see how it operated. I wouldn't venture to say that I'd be out of line to say that they would not allow you to do the same thing. It's just super, super creative, and lots of people put lots of time into it. The two ladies, you'll have to remind me of their names, but they were just...
I may not even know.
There's just so many people that were involved.
Well, I know through the... Some things have changed lately is why I say that, but I know Carol Glover... Yeah. Might have been up there. Terry Brown might have been up there, and Sandra Mitchell might have been up there.
So, we met so many people that night that I'd be afraid to say.
Yeah,
who
you probably
were.
Wouldn't remember.
But you know, it's just unique to see how that worked and how we were able to take it and make it adapt for what our young people were needing and what they were after. But this is sort of where we get into kind of where I'm a little more involved. as far as how we do the curriculum, and that's in the teenage department. So, Jess, what do you – I know you kind of mentioned you're on a monthly thing, but
yeah,
how do you structure that? What works for you and your guys?
Well, like I said, we've got an education director, and he – and this four-year plan was set in motion before we came, and so it's just kind of always been what I've gone with and, right. and whatnot. And there's been some changes. We've made some changes as new books and things become available. When we decided to start doing Pearls, the yeah. Pearl series with Lads to Leaders, okay, right. so we threw that in. So we're doing Pearls now as part of the curriculum instead of a separate class. I do guard, and Lori teaches gifts, but we do that on a Sunday afternoon. So
yeah.
we do it a little bit different than you do it, I think. But we do the 4-year plan, and I think we probably increased the amount of topics that we can cover by, I don't know, 2 or 3.
Yeah.
So it was really incredible to see when we started figuring out, okay, here's the years and the time frame that we have and what can we fit in. And, you know, we could fit in a lot more things. We can cover a lot more, but we do teach month to month. Like I said, we dual teach. So, you know, as far as venturing out, you know, I try to do that real gently, because there are some times when I look at it and I think, okay, I'm just not sure they're connecting with this. And, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of sitting down with people and saying, how are we going to teach this before the quarter or before the month starts? How are we going to teach through Kings? Because, you know, there's some exciting things in there, but there's some dry things in there too. And by dry, I don't mean, you know, not profitable for us. It's all the Word of God, but sure. I just mean... Yeah. For a teenager, you know, it can be a little bit, I don't know, it just uninteresting, I guess, to sit through. I mean, let's just be honest. And so, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of saying, how are we going to teach this where we can hold the attention? And sometimes we just have to say, let's just maybe skip this for now, you know, based on the group. Like I said, you have to assess your group and where they are. Just for instance, back towards the end of summer, Lori took the girls to Starbucks, and they had this big coffee night out, and they said, we really want to have a girls' class, just the girls, and we want to do the whole month. We want to have the whole month just a girls' class, and so that obviously is not in the curriculum, you know, that we have, and so I was a little bit nervous to even bring it up, because I hate to get off of that curriculum too much.
Yeah.
But I talked to the education director, Carrie Peck, and I said, the girls are really wanting it. I feel like if they're really wanting to do this, can we change some things up, or can we just skip this first set of lessons? And it wasn't a problem. We did. And the number of girls that were coming grew. They had some visitors that came with them. We had some visitors come with the guys in the guys' class. And so what we ended up doing for that was we went through that AIM series, the last one on James.
Yeah.
Did the videos. The videos were kind of the spearhead for the discussion and went on from there. I think I've actually mentioned that in an episode or two. But I thought that was a great month, and it didn't hurt us to get off of the curriculum at all. So that's kind of how we do things. But there's all kinds of ways that you can do it.
Right.
You know, but typically I do not choose the curriculum,
right?
Because like I said, it's set now. Like I said, we've had some discussions, we've added some things, and I've had some voice there, but I typically agree with what we've had in the 4-year plan. I think it's a pretty good balance of relational topics and modern day topics with you know, scripture too.
Yeah, you know, and the old adage comes to mind, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
You know, so if it's working for you and it's continually working for you and your young people are benefiting from it, you know, it doesn't hurt to keep on rolling with it. I think there's something to be said about the power and the impact of things that are working. So we started something this year with our teenagers that it's been pretty neat. We started doing a theme, like a yearly theme.
Oh, yeah.
So this year, our theme was dedication. So we were talking about, you know, we started the year talking about our dedication to God, then our dedication to our church and our to church, making sure that, you know, we emphasize being dedicated to that work. And then our dedication to each other. And so, you know, that fills those three quarters because, like I said, the other quarter we're in a lad's environment. So I thought it would be just kind of a neat approach. So right now we've begun that final quarter. So we're talking about dedication to each other. So it's just, you know, applying practical real world things with, you know, a Bible story, because, you know, just about anything that's happening in the real world, you can find where it relates to Scripture.
That's right.
and you can be able to pull that in. So it's been really unique. It's been a lot of fun. One thing that I've always tried to emphasize, and one thing that I've always told my teenagers, and one thing that my elders have been super, super supportive of, is even though we have a plan, and the plan for this year was dedication to have a theme, and I think that's worked pretty well for us, and hopefully we can continue to do that in the years to come, is just work off of a theme. But if something major happens, if something that is huge in society or huge in the church or something like that, you've got to be able, in my mind, you know, it works for us, you got to be able to take some time and talk about those things, you know, whether it's the first 20 minutes of class, or if you want to spend the entire class period discussing those things and hearing their voice, hearing your teenager's voice, hearing their questions or their concerns about things that are happening. Your teenagers want to feel like it's their class, you know, and if we just come in and lecture them, okay, dedication week,
right,
week 27, you know, whatever, it can kind of become something that they get disengaged with. But if we give them the opportunity, hey, you know, something major has happened in society. Let's talk about it. Let's look at it from a scriptural point of view. So I think that's always good to keep in the back of your mind when you're developing your curriculum, is give yourself the opportunity that if something happens, you know, you can address it, talk about it. But during that lads quarter, we break up our class time to cover a variety of different things. We got Bible Bowl. Then our 6th through 8th grade, they do gift and guard.
Okay.
So they'll finish into that. And then 9th through 12th, I'll take those guys and we'll do pearls. We'll do the pearl study. So one of the things that, you know, I would love to see incorporated our congregation, because I think it would work, is you know, see everybody in the congregation do the pearl study.
Yeah, that'd
because
be cool.
It would just be neat. You know, you know exactly what you're going to be discussing. You could talk about it from a entire church family perspective. But you know, that's just kind of works. You know, and of course we incorporate the rotation with Centurion of Scripture, second language, etc. You know, we can do that too on Wednesday night. It just gives us the lads quarter is very flexible, you know, it just helps for us, you know, and it also gives us an opportunity to get our puppet teams in front of different people. You know, they go to different adult classes, different smaller classes, and they'll do their puppet skit for those classes. So it's just a unique built-in, and it also changes the pace. You know, I mean, it just
sure.
it gives them
yeah.
a different vibe. And, of course, we offer an opportunity for the young people who are not involved with lads, we offer a class for them as well, because, you know, there are just some who can't break away for that entire weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and some just, they're not interested.
Not
in
interested.
It. You know, there's just
yeah.
something that they don't get interested in, and, you know, that's not their fault. You know, we need to make an avenue for them. So, it's just super unique. When you start talking about a curriculum, there are so many factors that you've got to look into, what you're trying to accomplish. How are we going to be able to glorify God through these things? How are we going to be able to get the best material to them in their hands so that they're learning the most that we could possibly give them, and how they're growing the most. So it's just unique. And what works best for Jess doesn't necessarily work the best for me, because,
right. yeah.
you know, all of my kids are one thing that I've thought about so many times is when I was at Shiloh, all of my kids were pretty much under the same roof from church to school. They were on the same roof. So when I went to, when we worked with the Jackson Heights congregation, that wasn't the case there. We had 3 or 4 different places that we had kids tied to. Come back to Shiloh, boom, we're all under the same roof again.
Way, yeah.
So, you know, so a lot of what they deal with, a lot of what they see, a lot of what they hear, they all hear it. You know, they all see it. So I can't imagine, you know, being in your situation with like seven different groups of, you know, they all have different struggles. They all have different things that they hear. So, you know, it's just unique. You got to be flexible with your curriculum. You got to look at what's working, what's not working. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it hurts to back up and punt every now and again to make sure that what we're looking at is the right thing.
Yeah, and so, you know, basically, and I know, whether this has helped you guys or not, we didn't get into specific books and specific kinds of curriculum, and maybe that's something we can do and share on our Facebook page or something with you guys, but we just wanted to have this discussion and open it up to you as well to say, you know, send us links to what you guys use and what are you teaching and what are some books that have been successful with you. So, if you're teaching in the elementary department, if you use books or if you have rotating classes or, you know, if you develop your own curriculum, let us know what works and make sure that whatever you're choosing, if that's something that you're in charge of, that like Wes said, that you're choosing what's best for your congregation and in your teen department in the same way. If you're using books or in-house developed curriculum or if you're rotating on you're teaching on a monthly basis or quarterly basis, make sure that whatever it is, that it's helping your teenagers grow in the best possible ways and that it works the best for you. And so we covet your suggestions. We covet your ideas and what it is that you're doing.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have created your own curriculum top to bottom, first of all, I would like to know how much coffee you had to drink to put in the manpower hours that took. And secondly, you know, you don't have to send us your material, but we would like to know that and know what the structure is, because I think that's amazing. These people that just put curriculums together are such special people because they spend that much time just trying to glorify God and give good information to young people and older people alike. So if you've done your own curriculum, I would especially like to hear.
And, you know, if you don't mind emailing it to us, then we'll take it off your hands. And
we will put it to good use.
We'll put it to good use. And if anything, things like that, when you share it, it gives people ideas, you know, and it can really help and go a long way to do that.
And if you do use it, give people the credit.
Exactly.
Because you want people to know who has really put the meat and potatoes behind putting that together. And, you know, obviously it all goes back to Scripture and it's all the inspired and divine word of God. But when people put it together and apply it and make it practical, it's good to give those people that little shot of notice.
And in fact, I will put the link to that Journeyland material that I referenced. I'll put it in the show notes.
That was cool stuff. I remember that. Because I was at Atlas when you first came in and Lori and you started putting that together. And let me tell you something. I say it on this show often, but Jess is a machine. And the amount of work that he puts in, and Lori too. I mean, Lori's just incredible. You know, of course, every youth minister's wife is incredible. You know, every minister's wife is just, they're just amazing people. But it's just a privilege for me to sit across from somebody who loves God as much as Jess does and has put so much effort into so many young people's lives across the board. I remember when you and Lori came to Atlas, and I remember the excitement that was around that, and then, you know, a new curriculum coming in, and then we left, you know, a year or two after you had been there. I went to Shiloh, and it was just super, super awesome to watch that and watch that grow because, you know, Atlas was my home, and that's where I grew up, and that's where I learned a lot of things, so it was exciting to see that. But
well, anyway, I appreciate, you know, I don't want to linger on that or anything. I appreciate you saying that. It's flattering. You do a
Jess
great
is a
job.
Machine.
And we've got so many wonderful youth ministers in our area, and I know surrounding so many that we know that do such a great job. You're one of them, too. But right now, I'm excited, and we need to wind this episode down, but I'm excited to tell you now, finally, about the giveaway that we have. It's a brand new car. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I'm not Oprah. So I'm not going to give you a car, but we do have, and I'm holding it up for our Facebook Live viewers. If you probably can't zoom in, but you can see it is an Insignia tripod and remote shutter. So basically what you can do with this thing is, and it has a clip that you can clip your phone to, and it says that it had the universal phone clip holds phones with screens up to 5.5 inches. So I believe that is large enough to hold the iPhone 6 Plus, which is what I have.
Yep.
And it should hold that, no problem. So you can put that on the tripod here. And with the shutter remote, you can take pictures from a distance away. So it's great. It says for selfies and just for other pictures, you can set it up across the room, much like we do with Facebook Live. I have a similar setup as this. And so we're going to be giving this away. And Wes, I'm going to let you tell them how they can enter this free giveaway contest.
Yeah, the first thing we want to do is obviously we want to thank you for listening and appreciate that so much. And some of the feedback that we have received has been huge. But the way to win this would be to email us your name, address, how we can get the giveaway to you. And we're going to take all those names, we're going to put them in a hat, and we're going to let the people from our youth groups gather together and draw a name out of that hat. So it's just a good, cool way to incorporate you and our listeners and our young people and just everybody that's involved with the Ministry Zoo. So send us your name and address via email. Jess will give you that email address in just a few moments and how you can get that to us. And we want you to email us, put your name in the hat, and and we'll get this thing out to you as soon as we do that. Do we have a deadline?
I would. What I was thinking was we'll announce next week on the show. So if you could get it to us by, you know, by Monday of next week, then that would be great. And let's see, and I don't even know what the date is. I thought, well, maybe they're listening on a Thursday or Friday, but what would Monday be?
Monday
next week
would be the off the top of 12th. My
head, the 12th.
Yes.
So get us your name and address, as Wes said, via email by September the 12th. That is 2016, and because if you're listening in 2018, we got nothing for you.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Sorry, it's already gone.
So September 12th, 2016 is the deadline. Get us your name and address. And so we're just excited that you guys are listening and we want to do something kind of cool. So that's the giveaway. Now for our final rush, closing everything out. And this is not something that's new, but it's new to me, something that I've been using. And I signed up for this probably a year ago or more, and I had no idea how to use it. I didn't know the verbiage, the words that they were using to describe things, but it's called MailChimp. And basically what it is a way to create digital bulletins or newsletters that you can share via email or through social media. You can send it as a link, you know, in a text message, and you can open it up and you can and whoever opens it can see what you've put in there. You can put pictures. I think you can put video, and you can do articles and things like that through that. And so we have been doing paper newsletters for a while, and I decided, you know what, you know, they get thrown away, they get lost, and I'm afraid that the information is not getting to parents that way. And so what I thought was, you know, I came across this, and I had remembered using it, saw somebody else was using it, and thought, I need to try to figure this out, because if I can text the link to the teenagers and the link to the parents as well and put it on Facebook and Twitter, then more people can see it. And if it's in your text messages, you can go back and look at it. Oh, I forgot, you know, I threw that newsletter away. What were we doing on this day? I forgot. Well, now, you know, they can go on and look and see, you know, and pull it up from their email or their text message, you know, if they have forgotten. So that's pretty cool. You know, you have to kind of figure out, because they call them campaigns. Yeah. That's what threw me off at first when I logged in. I was like, okay, I don't understand how that works. What is this campaign thing all about? And but you just have to play around with it and see how it works. I'm not using it to its full potential yet, so I hope that I'll get a tutorial pretty soon. So anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. Little, I don't know, little idea for you there.
Yeah, so it's called MailChimp.
MailChimp. You know, actually, there's a monkey on the website.
It's incredible what monkeys can do these days.
It is. You got the trunk monkey and MailChimp and
Whatever.
Okay.
As far as us, you know, nothing really happening throughout the middle of the week. Of course, we'll have Bible study tomorrow night. But we're going to get the fan van out rolling. We're going to go out to West Limestone.
Nice.
Wildcat country. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll be able to do that on Friday night. And then Shoals Area Youth Series kicks in at Tuscumbia on Sunday night. So we'll be over there for that. If you're listening to the show, you haven't heard, I believe Tuscumbia will be starting at 5:30 on Sunday night. So it's not the typical 5 or 6. It'll be right smack dab in the middle at 5:30. So hopefully we'll be able to see you there. Jess,
yes.
Where can they find us?
You can go on and download the Podomatic app. We're on the Podomatic app. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/ministryzoo. And also you can find us on Facebook Live under that same address. We're on Twitter. We are at Ministry Zoo on Twitter. And you can find us on the podcast app in iTunes and on Google Play. And that email address is ministryzoo@gmail.com. ministryzoo@gmail.com. So contact us. Let us know you're listening. Give us your ideas, your suggestions on curriculum. But don't forget to leave your name and your address to enter the giveaway for the tripod and remote shutter.
Absolutely.
And I do believe that's pretty much it for today. It's been great being with you, Wes. It's good to see you
again
after
man.
The weekend.
Absolutely.
And we're out.
Go Cubs.
See ya.